Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
That settles it. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This is our third installment of Jesus Said. Last week we talked about, we're taking a deep dive into Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus deals with a handful of issues in very succinct and in quick order. And last week it was, judge not, lest you be judged. And just to catch everybody up real quick, that's a whole sermon series in itself, because we're always told, don't judge others and don't judge this. And we live in a culture that loves to say, only God can judge me. But the Bible says that the Spirit judgeth all things. So we're not supposed to do the judging. The Spirit inside of us, the Word of God, allows us to look and inspect the fruit or the lack thereof in people's lives. And then we make decisions on the fruitful I will be friends with, I will be in relationship with, but the people that are unfruitful, those are who God has called me to minister to serve and to love, and we should never mix up the two. One of my goals in 2023 personally, but I just went ahead and made it a Living Way goal, and you'll hear a lot of this year, is that we would fall in love with the Word of God more than we already do. Or maybe perhaps still you look at the reading of the Word of God like a textbook in high school. I love to read. And I really believe this, church, that every leader should be a reader. Reading, whether it's books on finance, success, relationship, whatever, I believe that we should read. But I believe the Word of God, until we fall in love with the Word of God, there is a ceiling and there is a limit. But I hated in school when they had required reading. They made us read things. I remember having to read Pride and Prejudice. I remember not reading Pride and Prejudice. I remember reading the first chapter, the last chapter, picking up the yellow Cliff Notes and watching the movie, and then bluffing my way through the paper that I got a C on. And can I just remind you that C's also get degrees, praise God. But I hate when someone told me you have to. Listen, church, remember, it's never I have to, it's I get to when it comes to the things of God. The fact that God would bring us in, the fact that God would give us access to His Word, which is an inexhaustible warehouse of every answer that we will ever need in life, is absolutely amazing. And here we are in 2024 with all the problems that surround society and all the questions that we even as believers and followers might have. And Jesus is saying, I've given you 66 books of my Word that will change and transform your life and answer any question that you have. You say, well, I have this question, it's not in the Bible. Then you're asking the wrong questions. Because every question in your life that is important, you can find an answer in the Word of God. Very quickly, David said, I hide the Word, Psalm 119. Why do we hide the Word of God in our lives? So that we do not sin. Sin is when we are separated from our Savior, Jesus Christ. That means if we hide and continually put the Word of God in us, we will never have our connection and our relationship with Jesus severed. God told Joshua in Joshua 1, verse 8, He said, meditate on the Word. To meditate on the Word, we have to read the Word. We have to become a student of the Word of God, praise God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. But before you can meditate, you've got to read it. You've got to declare it. I encouraged everybody 2 weeks ago, start your day off with the Word of God. It's not always the quantity, it's the quality. But start with the Word of God. That way, while you're sitting at the red light on your way to work or school, you can begin to meditate on the Word that you ingested that morning. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:3, he said, you need to read the Word. As much as I love podcasts, it's not the same. As much as I love Audible and audiobooks, it's not the same. As much as I love apps, it's not the same. I'm telling you, get a leather-bound Bible with pages between your fingers, get you a highlighter and a pen, and start reading the Word of God every day. You know, I love my wife. Every day I talk to her. Every day I spend time with her. Three or four times a week we go to lunch or we go to dinner or maybe a movie. We spend all kinds of time together. And when I am in her presence, I'm reading, I'm hearing words. Spending time with God is what happens when we simply read the word. And then I love Matthew 8. The centurion told Jesus, speak the word only. This centurion who did not know Jesus as good as Peter, did not have the relationship that John had, he said, Jesus, I understand enough about your ministry that when you speak, there's an authority that changes the situation. Can I tell you, church, on your phone, sitting on your nightstand where your Bible is, that is authority that is waiting to be released in you, the believer's life. Somebody say amen. So last session we talked in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, on judge not, lest you be judged. Let's talk now. We're going to go just a little bit further. Verse 7 is where we'll start in just a moment of chapter 7. But let's talk about effective prayer. Here in these next couple months, and we'll be sure to give you a big heads up. This year, we're going to be offering classes, have a lot of new believers. We're going to be offering class on how to pray, what prayer sounds like, how to read your Bible, how to study your Bible, what is fasting, and all of these tenets of our faith. We're going to give these Thursday night classes some legs. And so I want you to be prayerful and consider when we announce those days of coming in this room and in this building on those Thursday nights. But let's talk about prayer. And this is as far as we'll get tonight. But I believe for the intercessors, this is going to bless you and encourage you to keep praying. And for those of us that only thank God for our food, it's going to teach us to pray. Praise God. Let's talk about effective prayer. Somebody say effective. What does effective mean? It means it works. It means it accomplishes what the prayer wants it to accomplish. That means if there is such thing, church, as effective prayer, then there is such thing as ineffective prayer. How many of you have ever heard somebody pray that you know has never prayed before? Or you know, let me tell you, if you want to see if a person has a prayer life, ask them to pray in public. And when I say in public, I'm talking about just somewhere where they're not in a room by themselves. Ask them to lead grace at Thanksgiving. When they start stuttering and stammering around, when they say more Father God's than any other words, they don't pray. Here's how you tell someone who prays a lot. They pray with passion, they pray with fervor, but they pray the word. Because people that pray the word, this is not something that they're doing in front of people. They're literally spending time with God, declaring his word back to God, saying, this is what the promises in your word says. This is what you unleash. This is what the word. And so when you want to know if someone can pray or does pray, ask them to pray in public, and do they pray the word? Some religions stress the prayer. However, Christianity and a disciple, we don't stress the prayer as much as we place onus on the prayer, the one who is praying. Check this out, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. All of our former Catholics, you're going to get a kick out of this because it's right in your Bible. This is what Jesus said one chapter before, chapter 6, verse 7 of Matthew. When you pray, don't babble on and on as Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. We all know people that pray the same prayer over and over again. And I'm going to tell you, there is a place and a time for that, because the Bible tells us where Jesus literally says, this is how you pray, our Father who art in heaven. But there has to be some feeling and faith behind your prayers. They cannot be empty words that you have rehearsed. It cannot be the same prayer that you've always prayed. Why? Because you are different, and this is not the same thing that you were facing 10 years ago. You know why I can't say the same prayer every time? I'm full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not going to let me say the same prayer, because the Holy Ghost is going to take over. Bishop Fender tells the story of one of America's greatest preachers who was asked, I believe, at Bill Clinton's inauguration to share the prayer at the inauguration. And President-elect Clinton said, his office said, we need you to send your prayer to us so that we can approve it. To which the Pentecostal pastor said, I cannot send you something I haven't prayed yet. I'm not going to write that. I'll write the vision, but I'm not going to write the prayer. And until your prayers are spirit-led, you're praying like the Gentiles. Until your prayers go beyond just a list of wants and needs, you are praying like the Gentiles. If your prayers are always about more money and paying your bills, you are praying like the Gentiles pray like that. You realize that people that are strung out on drugs pray that prayer. People that have never met Jesus and couldn't find him with 3 search warrants. That's how they pray. But we are not those people. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are blood bought. We are spirit filled. So an effective prayer comes out of an effective believer, an effective disciple. Somebody say amen. Write this down if you're taking notes or take a picture of the wall. A believer who does not pray might be a believer, but they're not a disciple. I knew it would get quiet right there because some of you are not praying. Sometimes you got to say ouch before you can say amen. Why is it the only time God hears from you is when you want something or when you're in trouble? God is not a parlor trick. It's not a get out of jail free or get out of hell free. Sometimes God wants to hear you when you don't need anything. What would happen if your life began with a prayer that sounded like this? God, I thank you for waking me up today. God, you didn't have to, but you did. God, I thank you, Lord, that you do have a plan and a destiny and destination for me that is not one of evil, that is not one of the craziness of. Lord, I thank you that I didn't get what I deserved, God. God, your mercy, your loving kindness, and your grace. I thank you so much for what you've done. You know how surprised God would be if you just said, in Jesus' name, amen, after that. Well, hold on. The last 10 times you've prayed, it's always been what you want, what you want, what you want. And I'm not saying don't pray for what you want. Number one, pray for what you need. But I'm talking about our prayers to be effective have to be more than what the Gentiles pray about. False religion makes prayer a religious ritual. However, we as believers, our prayer and our prayers are founded in relationship and activated through faith. Your prayer, church, is simply you talking to God. That's a heavy statement when you think about it. That the God, the creative God of the universe, with everything going on with Israel and Palestine, with everything going on in this world, that at any moment when a believer opens up their mouth and starts talking, God is listening. And God is not listening for our complaining. God is not listening for the woe is me whine. God is listening for faith-filled believers to declare the word of God, to stand on faith and say, God, I know you can, and I know you will. Can we be believers like that in 2024? Effectual or effective prayers. Have you ever heard a pastor or a preacher say that God is only responsible to hear the prayer of a sinner when they say, help me, Jesus, or what we call the sinner's prayer? I've heard people say that all of my life. But they've never given a verse to back it up. Well, I'm gonna give you a verse to back it up. This is what is said in Matthew 9, verse 31. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Keep it right there, media team, because I don't know if we'll get much past this. We know that God doesn't listen. Now, let me help somebody. God hears every prayer. Every prayer. When you were strung out, God heard it. when Jesus was the farthest thing from your mind and you prayed that prayer about your mama because she got a bad report, or you prayed about, let me tell you, God hears every single prayer, but God only responds to the prayers of righteous men and women. That's why it's important that you realize that you and my righteousness in the sight of God is filthy rags. That means his righteousness is now our righteousness. That means when you pray tomorrow morning, God not only hears your prayer, but if you're standing on faith and believing and not doubting, he will respond to your prayer in Jesus' name. That's a good thing for us to know in 2024. And I believe that when I called out to Jesus and I said, Jesus, I'm tired of running on July of 1999 when I got saved for real. I grew up in a pastor's home, but I rebelled. I wanted to do my own thing. But at a summer camp in 1999, I said, God, let's get for real. God, I want you to hear this cry. I want you to hear this plea from a dirty old sinner. And God heard that call, and he showed up, and he transformed my life, and he saved my soul. And since that day, I am now the righteousness of God. Oh, I am not perfect, but I've taken on his righteousness. So when I open up my mouth, God says, I want to hear what he has to say. Let's check it out. Keep it up. Here we go. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship. Check this out, church. Some of you came in, worship was a little different tonight. Took you a little, I told our team, I said, hey, we've got to be involved from the second that clock strikes zero, because there's going to be some people, it's going to take them 15 minutes to get into worship, and worship's only 20 minutes tonight. And so we have to understand worship is not a style of music. It's not an instrument. It's not a Sunday expression. Worship is an expression from a believer's heart to a God that didn't have to, but he did. And so the Bible says that God is ready to hear those who worship him, not those that are married to a worshiper. I'm talking to the men. Not to those whose parents are worshipers. I'm talking to the youth. The two things that I see a lot on the road when I preach, and I don't like it, is I don't like that pastors don't worship, and I don't like that worship leaders don't stay and hear the word. Everybody needs to be a worshiper. I don't care if you're a bishop, an apostle, or somebody that just walked in and you've never met Jesus. We were created to worship, praise God. And I don't know anybody that says they love Jesus that is not in the book and in his word and about his word. Those who worship, he is ready to hear. Somebody say effective prayer. This is where it gets dicey, church. This is where you can check your prayers and how effective they are. Those who worship. Check mark, Jesus, because I am a worshiper. I've told y'all, when I'm driving 75 miles an hour, it's dangerous to drive 100. It's really dangerous when a spirit-filled worshiper drives, and you got it on the playlist. But listen, I felt bad. I think Brielle was standing in front of me in worship. You know why I sit on the front row? Not because I'm the pastor, but because I have my own little concert up here. I'm doing runs. I'm worshiping, and she's having to hear all of that. I'm trying my best to out-sing Tyler, Jaden, and Tanya, and whoever else is up here. But my best worship's not on a Wednesday night. Why? Because I'm a worshiper. I'm not a Wednesday worshiper. I'm just a worshiper. I'm not going to modify my worship by where I am and what I'm doing. My worship is my worship. That's what I was created to do, so that's what I'm going to do. But when I stumbled across this verse, it blessed me to know that my worship affects my prayer. That's why when you pray, put worship on. Make it a worship experience. Put it on the pod, on your iPod. Put it on the playlist and let somebody else create an atmosphere so that while you are praying, the evil spirits are leaving. To those that worship. So check mark. Most of us in here are worshipers. Here's where it gets dicey. And those that do His will. This is not an either or. It's an and. That's tough. It's not praise or worship. It's and. It's not worship or prayer. It's and. He says the worshipers. See, and it's so easy for us to check that box. But then when you start talking about doing his will is word. His last, when somebody dies, you read their last will and testament, Old Testament, New Testament. It is his word and those that do his word. Remember what Jesus said. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will do what I say. Believers at Living Way and watching online tonight, let 2024 be the year that we do the most word of God. That we do his will the most. Not just the parts we like. I love owning a house. I hate when my hot water heater goes out. I love owning a house. I hate paying insurance and taxes. There's a part of each thing. When you love something, there is always going to be a sacrifice that hurts and a part that, man, oh, this is tough for me to do. Do it anyway, because anything worth having from God is going to require sacrifice. And remember, God will never leave you worse than when he finds you. So those who worship and do his will. Let's go a little further. God hears those prayers that are always prayed, but he is not moved by the prayers of the unrighteous, but those who worship and do his will. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other. That's been taken out of context. Don't post them on social media. Don't share them with everybody. Don't share them with everybody. Share them with people that you know can touch heaven on your behalf. Share them with people that are going to hold you accountable in a loving way and give you three or four things that you can do to get yourself out of that mess. Confess your faults one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Pray for each other. Isn't that good that you don't have to wait for a Wednesday night? Pray for each other, which means you better know believers Monday through Saturday. Pray for each other. And you will be healed. And you will be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person. Here it is again. See, I love the things we teach. They have to be founded in this word. Anything I say, I need to be able to back it up with scripture. Anything I teach has to be backed up with scripture. Here it is, the earnest prayer, the for real prayer, the sincere prayer. Not the Gentile prayer, not the many words, not the babbling, not the repetition, not the once, but an earnest prayer of a righteous person, not our righteousness, his righteousness, has great power. You know what it doesn't say here? The earnest prayer of a prophet, the earnest prayer of a pastor, the earnest prayer of a psalmist. No, it says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The way the King James says it is, the prayers of an earnest man or an earnest woman availeth or accomplishes the assignment that which it is sent. It's effective prayer coming out of the mouth of an unrighteous person that has taken the righteousness of God, declaring truth from his mouth, standing on faith. It has great power and produces great results. Remember, we are keeping hope alive for our city. That means your prayers at your job are just as powerful as a prayer in this altar. Your prayer in the hospital is just as strong as the prayer in this place and in coming from a pastor mouth. Matthew 7:7. Here we are. Jesus said, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. Somebody say keep. Keep means to continue. There's somebody in the room today that it's just been 17 days in 2024 and you already want to quit. I've come to tell you, and if you only remember one thing, remember this. You are still alive today, which means God still wants you to continue. God still wants you to move forward. Doesn't matter what you've lost. Doesn't matter how it looks today. I just need you to move forward and continue. Keep doing what God has called you to do. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Asking is the action of faith to receive. If you have not received, it's because you're not asking. Or perhaps you're asking the wrong questions. James chapter 4, verse 2. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. That word amiss means you ask with the wrong motives. See, you pray one thing with your lips, but God reads your heart, not your lips. You worship with your lips, but God's not a lip reader. He's a heart reader. He said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are nowhere near this altar. Said, you have not because first you won't even bother to ask. My son doesn't live with me anymore. Him and his wife have started their family. I just spoke a prophetic word. My God. Tell Alyssa. It's on his way, praise God. Have started their life is what I meant. Y'all want to be a grandpa so bad, y'all. I can't wait. It's going to be great. They're going to call me Pops. It's going to be amazing. Coolest grandpa on the block. But he moved out 2 years ago. But as a father, if he wanted something, I would expect him to call me and ask. Because you know what answers you're not getting? The questions you don't ask. You know the only way to find something about something you don't know is to ask. My teacher used to say, and this was not a way to get people to ask questions. He said, there's no such thing as a stupid question, just stupid people. Ask away. But here's the thing, church. If you don't know, you don't know. And what you don't know will hurt you. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is damaging. It is dangerous and will damn you to hell if you allow it to. You have not because first you will not ask. You have not asked. Second, you have not because you ask with the wrong motives. God is not a lip reader. He's a heart reader. He's looking past. Get your heart right. That's why we've come up with phraseology in America to say things like, accept Jesus into your heart. Why do we say that? Because the heart's one of the things that has to change. The heart of stone needs to come out. And God wants to, and I hope he doesn't mind. Cruz, if you watch this, forgive me. I told him I was going to preach this, and I was just kidding, but I'm actually about to preach it now. In the Old Testament, they had the Ten Commandments. This is what preachers talk about while we're eating. He said they had the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. He said, what happened to the Ten Commandments? They were broke, shattered. Because a stone can shatter, it can break. And so when we look at the word in the Old Testament, before Jesus comes, it's written on stone. Those stones are in the Ark of the Covenant somewhere. But then the New Testament comes along. God starts talking about, let me write my word on the heart, on the tablet of the heart. In the Old Testament, it would break, but on the New Testament, it can't break because it's written on you. But this is why we say things like Jesus wants to come into your heart. Because the Bible says your heart is deceitfully wicked. Who could know it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the heart issue, God reads the heart. Let's get our heart right in 2024. Let me go just a little further. Church, we must ask the right questions. So asking is the action of faith to receive. Seeking is the action of faith to find. We seek for the right things. We'll get to that in just a moment. Knocking is the action of faith to open doors. If you ain't knocking on doors, they're never going to open. Knock on the right doors, church. in relation to prayer, the late, great Kenneth Phillips, Bishop's mentor, he posted this on social media. I don't know if he came up with this or not, but he said there's only four answers to every prayer. Yes, no, wait, and get up and do it yourself. There's doors that you're asking God to open that he's already unlocked. And all you got to do is turn the knob and walk in. There's things you're saying, God, I need you to show me. God, I'm seeking. God, I'm... And God's saying, no, it's right over there. You're not looking hard enough. You're not seeking the right way. Verse 8, I'm going to close with this verse. For everyone who asks, receives. Somebody say everyone. Everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Which begs this question. If everyone who asks, receives, seeks, finds, knocks, the doors are open, then why are so many people praying prayers that go unanswered? It's because they get almost there, but not all the way. And I close with this. Questioning is not the same thing as asking a question. A questioning spirit will close heavens. God, why did you do this to me? God, why is my life like this? Have you ever had somebody come at you and they came at you the wrong way so you match their energy? Why is it? Questioning and asking a question. So we could go from, God, why is my life like this, to God, there's some things in my life that I don't understand, but I know that you are still God. And God, I just need to know where I need to go and what I need to do to get back on track. You've just moved from questioning to asking God legitimate questions that are going to move you closer to his will. Got two more points and then we're done. Church, looking is not the same as seeking. Some of us have been looking for Jesus. We've been looking for his will. Looking's not going to get it. Seeking is going to get it. I shared this a few months ago, but it's apropos to share again right now. I remember this one over here playing the keyboard. Dad, I can't find my shoes. Well, have you looked for your shoes? Oh, yeah. I looked all over for them, couldn't find them. And you know, a kid's version of looking is this. They don't even look up or down. They just rotate once. Can't find it. When number one is the place where they left it. But if they would have sought, they would have found. Most people look and not seek because it's easier. We feel like it takes the responsibility off of us. Jesus, I looked for a mate, I couldn't find one. That's the problem. You looked for a good time, not a God man or a God woman that only takes seeking. Seeking is really looking with diligence applied. That I will not stop looking until I find it. I will not stop asking until I hear the answer that God has given me. This is what Jeremiah said. I think it's chapter 29, verse 13. This is what God said to Jeremiah. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. Only after you seek me with your whole heart. Not your eyes, church. Not a couple God thoughts on a Sunday or Wednesday, but Monday, seeking God. God, I'm going to open your word. I'm not shutting this word until you speak to me. I'm not getting up from this altar until you touch me. God, I'm seeking you with everything that I have. Looking is not the same thing as seeking. And I'll close with this. You might be knocking on doors, church, but some of you have been knocking on doors in the wrong hallway, in the wrong building. And you better thank your God that he didn't open that door, because if he would have opened that door, you would have been in a bad, bad place. Stand on your feet. The Apostle Garth Brooks said some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Pastor Greg, I don't know if you feel like this. I'm so grateful that God didn't answer every one of 18-year-old Brandon's prayers. But can I be honest with you, church? I'm glad he didn't answer every 2023 Brandon's prayers. Because sometimes they were selfish. Sometimes I was mad. Sometimes I didn't bother to even check in with what God was doing. And God, I want this. And God's saying, son, if I gave that to you, it would mess everything up I planned. So we're not looking, we're seeking. We're not just knocking on every door. We're going to the door that God, the Bible says in Revelation, that God puts before us open doors that no man can shut. And I'm not just up here asking God for whatever. I'm asking very focused questions, very focused needs. As I was preparing this the last couple weeks, I said, man, that's going to be a hard altar call, because I believe today's been encouraging, challenging, and uplifting. But where do we go from that altar call? But if you know how I prepare, I always work backwards. So here's the altar call. If you're ready for your prayer life to be effective, that's a very generic altar call. And actually, all of us should come to the altar for that. But I believe there's some people that you struggled in 2023 because you prayed more and got the least amount of results that you've ever had. You say, well, why is that? It's frustrating. Ineffective prayers come from ineffective prayers. So let's get the person praying. Let's get their heart right. Let's get our faith built up. Let's get our focus back on Jesus and his word. And I want to promise you, I guarantee you, that what you start declaring out of God's word, you are going to see it in Jesus' name. Jamie's the first one to break the ice. I need there to be another three or four dozen. At the count of three, don't think about it. I want you to move. One, two, three. Step out of your seat and join us in this altar. 10 or 12, 15 have already made that commitment, already made that step. Let me just free somebody. If you're a leader and you're thinking, man, I don't want to go up there. I'm supposed to be a leader. But as a leader, we want your prayers to be the most effectual they've ever been. Step out of your seat and join us. If I wasn't holding the microphone, I'd be standing right down here at the end. Why? Because I want my prayers to be the most effective that they have ever been in my 42 years of life. I don't care if you've been living for God for 40 minutes or 40 years. This is your moment to say, God, I'm going deeper. God, I'm seeking like never before. And God, I know that when I seek God, I will find. And when I ask God, I will receive. And God, I'm knocking on new doors, God. I'm knocking on God-inspired doors, God-given doors, God. God-ordained doors. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is what I want our prayer to be in this altar for the next couple moments. If you're in this altar, I want you to lift both hands to God. And I want you to start having this moment with God right now. I want you to forget about the 40 or 50 other people in this altar. I want you to forget about the few hundred other people that haven't come down to the altar. I want this to be about you and God. And this is what I want. I don't want you to say, God, fix my prayer life. I don't want you to say that. I don't want you to even say, God, I want effectual prayers. Because that's easy to say, hard to do. This is the prayer. God, give me a new desire for your word. Because I promise you, if you get in your word, you're going to talk to God more. Some of your prayers are going to be, God, what did you mean? In John 4, verse 10. God, what was the Apostle Paul saying over there in Galatians? Now you're having dialogue with God, and God will begin to expand and expound his word in your life. And the more word that you have, the greater the foundation for you to declare in faith. Your prayer life will follow your word.